It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President, Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, President Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support comes from United Electric Cooperative, Clarinda Regional Health Center, and Atchison Holt Electric. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know there's so much to celebrate regarding Northwest Missouri, Southwest Iowa, Southeast Nebraska, and Northeast Kansas. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCV, KRNW, trust you had a great March and, like you, are enjoying the warmer weather. I am so pleased to welcome you to the April edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. Segment one will focus on Conception Abbey, a blessed jewel for this region. We'll talk with Abbot Gregory Poland about the Abbey, its plans, and upcoming events. In segment two, we feature Northwest student and soon-to-be graduate, Ben Nulley. Ben exemplifies an engaged Northwest student, one that works and plays, takes in our profession-based opportunities, and readies himself for lifelong learning, being a contributing member of his community and living a fulfilling life. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Abbot Gregory Poland to All Things Northwest. Born in the western suburbs of Chicago, he professed his vows as a monk of Conception Abbey in 1971. Ordained to the priesthood in 1977, he was elected abbot of Conception Abbey in 1996. Abbot Gregory holds numerous degrees ranging from a bachelor's in theology and philosophy from Conception Seminary College to the PhD in theology from the University of Ottawa in Ottawa, Canada, and also a pontifical degree in biblical theology from the University of St. Paul in Ottawa. The abbot has served numerous administrative roles and presently sits on the editorial board for the Bible Today, published by the Liturgical Press of Collegeville, Minnesota, serves as the chair of the Ecumenical and Interreligious Commission from the Diocese of Kansas City-St. Joseph. He's a member of the Abbot President's Council within the Swiss American Congregation of Benedictines and serves as a consultant to the Secretariat of the United States Bishops Committee on Divine Worship. Serving as the Abbot of Conception Abbey since 1996, he also serves as Chancellor of Conception Seminary College and as a professor of theology focusing on scripture and biblical languages. Abbot Gregory Poland, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here with you.
Did I get the introduction right? I mean, does that cover your background and so on?
Sure does.
Well, it shows to our listeners, or you know, as we listen to all the things that you've done since really professing your vows back in 1971, you've exemplified lifelong learning, and you've exemplified leadership, and you've exemplified basic exuberance in a joy of life. So thanks up front for all that you do and all that you'll continue to do for this region.
Well, you know, sometimes people will ask me, how did you get used to rural America after living the first 20 years of your life in big city Chicago, western suburbs? And I have to say that I remember at one point, after being in the novitiate for 4 months, thinking to myself, I haven't been off the property. But I love rural America. I love Northwest Missouri. I always enjoy going back to visit my family in the Chicago area, but I'm always happy to come back.
Well, let's begin talking about faith and theology. The history of faith, the history of theology is so fascinating. I know that's been your area of study. How would you describe faith to someone just coming into this world and starting to ask the question, what is faith?
Well, I think faith has to do with a conviction that comes from within a person. And oftentimes people think about faith with regard to doctrine and morals. But I think even more importantly, a faith is associated with a person. And if you're a Christian, that's the person of Jesus Christ. If you're a Jew, it's the person of God. If you are a Muslim, it's the person of Allah. Importantly, it's that relationship with God that gives a focus and a direction to your life by which you live. I think that's what faith is all about. For example, at Conception Abbey, we first came to this country following the time of the French Revolution, when there was the threat of suppression of our monastery in Engelberg, Switzerland. And with much faith in the belief that they were being called to find a refuge in the event of the suppression of the monastery, they left those beautiful Alps in Canton, St. Gall, and came to Northwest Missouri and established a monastery. They came to this area because at that time they had a priest who was only coming once a month to provide the sacraments for them. And the bishop said, I will give you this land if you are willing to serve the people of this area. And so that's how we came in 1873 and founded Conception Abbey, our deep conviction of faith.
Well, and we'll pick up a little bit more on the history in just a moment, but that deep conviction of faith, also as we think about that deep conviction, and you have already referenced this, Abbot Gregory, so many different faiths. Talk about religious tolerance a little bit. Your views on religious tolerance, the relationship between Christianity and other religions.
I think that one of the problems in our world today is that we come out of a mindset that we have the best, or we have the only, or we have what everyone else should believe. And I think that an important element of tolerance comes when we are ready and willing to listen to others and to realize that all of us hold a piece of the truth. And together we can find a way to be faithful to our beliefs and our morals, while at the same time understanding that they might be a little different and respectful of others.
What a beautiful answer, Abbot Gregory. And as we think about tolerance, probably more widely than just religious tolerance, we can think about political tolerance and tolerance of different backgrounds and so on. So well said. And as you think about it, Abbot Gregory, since the time that you came forward and professed your vows as a monk in 1971, how has Christianity, and particularly the Catholic Church, changed since you were ordained back then?
I was ordained right in the early years after the Second Vatican Council. The council was finished in the mid-60s, and I was ordained in the early in the mid 1970, 77. It was a time of experimentation. It was a time of looking at new ways of being able to do things. And at that time, probably 1 year after I was ordained, the great John Paul II came and began to make the whole world his parish instead of just being in the Vatican. And how wonderful it was to see the manner in which he was able to capture the respect and the love by his compassion, his goodness, and his mercy toward all people.
Well, and, it goes without saying that, you know, Pope John Paul, being from Poland, that's what he brought forward, was that whole look at worldwide friendship and worldwide tolerance and giving thanks to everyone. And by the way, Pope Francis today seems to be doing that same thing with regard to social media. He's reaching out on Twitter and Facebook and so many other elements to reach out to the world as we know it. So where do you see the church at today and certainly in the next quarter century?
Well, I think that Pope Francis is a great gift, not only to the church, but to the world. I can be traveling in an airport and dressed as a Catholic priest, and I'll have people walk up to me and say, I'm not Catholic, but I love your Pope. Not too long ago, I was on a flight, and woman executive obviously had sat down next to me, because hardly had she been seated and she pulled out a laptop computer and she was at work. But in the last 10 minutes of the flight, she turned to me and asked me if I was Catholic, and I said that I was. She said, "Well, I'm Episcopalian, but I love your Pope."
Well, it's well said, and, you know, leadership is so important, and your leadership has been key, Abbot Gregory. Listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXVK or on W. We're visiting with Abbot Gregory Poland of Conception Abbey. Let's transition to talking about the Abbey. First of all, help our listeners understand, Abbot, what does an abbot do?
The most important thing to realize is that the abbot is the spiritual father of the monastic community. The abbot is the one who sets the pace, and Saint Benedict himself provides a real challenge for the abbot in our rule, which is 1,500 years old and still relevant and really classical. But he paints a portrait of an abbot as the Christ figure in the community. He's supposed to be the good shepherd. He's supposed to be the one who leads by example. He's supposed to be the one who brings the community together to find consensus, to talk about important matters. So it's really a spiritual paternity, if we can use that term. But in our own day and age, now 1,500 years later, he really is the CEO also, because he has decisions to make about finances, about the kind of work that we do both at the monastery and away. I function as the chancellor of the seminary college we have. So it's a job with a broad amount of things to do and responsibilities to fulfill.
Well, for our private sector and public sector listeners, you know, as we think about all the hats that an abbot wears, obviously, I mean, you're talking about finance and human resources and information technology, IT, kind of all these hats together, fundraising, et cetera. And we'll get into some of those topics, but let's talk. You mentioned history a little bit and going back to, you know, the French Revolution and kind of coming in and taking root right here in Northwest Missouri. Can we explore a little bit more about the history of the Abbey, the seminary, and certainly the mission and what you're all about today, the present state?
The reason we came here was because there were a large number of German-speaking and Irish immigrants who had come here to work on the railroad. And there were settlements in the area around Conception and Clyde, and they were communities of Catholics who needed a pastor. And so what is the heart of monastic life? Well, the heart of our monastic life is prayer. And if you go and you visit Benedictine communities throughout the world, you'll find that they do a variety of things. Some are involved in education, some involved in retreat work, some involved in agriculture, the care of the land. What we do, first of all, is that we are men of prayer, and our life is consecrated each day by coming together five different times during the day and praying. And our work grows out of that. So, for example, why do we run a seminary college? Well, after the monastery had been in the area for a little over a decade, the bishops of the area asked if we would set up a college for Catholic men with a two-track program, one being a seminary track and the other being just educating Catholic laymen for service in the world, giving a liberal arts education to them.
So, you know, listeners, I have, in terms of my notes, the mission of Conception Abbey and Abbot Gregory, you basically just walked through the mission in a very succinct fashion and really picked up the key elements of really that mission statement, that learning community, that that prayerful community, and really the day or the life, day in the life of the monk, or a week in the life of a monk, and so on. Having been out to the Abbey, my wife certainly serves on the board of Conception Seminary College. As you think about the learning process, and I'm talking about the learning process that now monks go through, talk about that as you think about taking in a monk and then walking them through that learning process.
So, for example, we would speak of that as formation. A young man comes, and he comes for a period of time to be determined on his own need to get to know us and we to know him, and he's called a postulant, and it comes from the verb postulando, to knock. So he comes knocking at the door and asking for entry to the monastery. If he perseveres after a period of time, he becomes a novice. And church law tells us that the novitiate has to be 1 year. And during that year of novitiate, it's an intense year of spiritual formation, learning about the history of monastic life, the spirituality of monastic life, how you take the elements of faith that are part of monastic life, and how you make them applicable today. Also, a young man will work in a variety of different areas in the life of the community. You know, for example, we have as one of our apostolic works, the printery house, and we print Christian greeting cards and of all kinds of varieties. We have a seminary. We have a guest department. You know, one of the traditions of Benedictine monasticism is hospitality. And St. Benedict says, a monastery is never lacking in guests. And so that's an important part of what we do. And so a novice would spend time working in all of these different areas of our life, and at the end of the novitiate then come to see whether he will petition the community to take what we call triennial vows, vows for 3 years. And the vows that we take as Benedictines are obedience, stability, and what is called conversatio morum, or a conversion of life. It means basically living under the rule of Saint Benedict.
And as you think about that day in the life, so to speak, of a monk, and doing a little research, I know that Saint Benedict was focused on providing services to rural communities, and that might be not just through church service, but through farming. And in your case, you know, something like 1,000 acres and a farmland, orchards, and so on. Talk about that a little bit too.
Oh yeah, you know, in many ways, as I say, the heart of monastic life is the life of prayer. One of the things that you find as a key element is farming, gardening, landscaping, all of those kind of things. St. Benedict says that a monk is truly known if he works and labors by the use of his hands. And so that has always been an important part of monastic life. Because we believe that we in some way imitate the Creator by the work of our hands, and we become the stewards of God's creation.
And one of the favorite quotes I've seen from St. Benedict, urging his monks to find Christ in every person they meet. And every time I come around you, Abbot Gregory, certainly your colleagues, monks, it's incredible when I watch them interact with individuals, that they do find the goodness in every single person. I think about that as a life lesson for all of us. You're talking about different things that monks do. You had mentioned the printery house, and you talked about really the guest house too. For our listeners of all things Northwest, if they want to get out to Conception, check out the seminary, if our listeners haven't done that, or if you have, but it's been quite a while, talk about that experience, because that printery house is very special, the guest house, the running trails and all that. So how do we get engaged and involved?
Well, You know, I might mention to you that you would be surprised to know the variety of people who come to spend time with us at Conception Abbey. For example, there is a Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Kansas, on Shawnee Parkway, called Central Baptist Theological Seminary. Every year, they come out for a week live-in experience. And they get up in the early hours of the morning to pray with us. And they have a series of classes learning about monastic life. And toward the end of the week, they have an afternoon with the abbot after all these experiences to talk about this. And to me, more interesting and delightful is the fact that some of these people still keep coming back on their own. You know, in our world today, we need places like monasteries. And that's why I believe monasteries are so important in our world today. They provide a place for people to come, to step aside, to be quiet, to reflect, to pray, and in many ways to just be. And we welcome all people who come among us. And, you know, that's what we provide. We provide that space and also the opportunity to talk to someone from the outside, someone outside your life who might be able to offer you a different idea about things.
It is a beautiful, beautiful complex, facility, grounds, everything that goes in with being as part of rural America. And so we really do advocate listeners of KXCB KRNW to certainly join in being a guest at the monastery. So many good things going on. One of them is the capital campaign. It's in play right now. It's called Renewing Our Father's House, renovating your monastery building. And, you know, we know that you've just gone through some recent renovations. Talk about all the good things happening right now.
Well, back in the 1880s, we built the first monastery. And it was built in three phases. But that first phase dates back to the 1880s. And we have not had the kind of financial resources that have enabled us to update the infrastructure and to bring into play all of the safety measures that would really be important for a building that is housing 40 men. And so we set out to have this capital campaign called Renewing Our Father's House. Again, emphasizing the fact that this monastery, this building, is God's building, and we are the stewards of it. And that has been a process which began last June 1st, and our contractors have told us that everything is on schedule, and we will be able to move back in no later than July 1st. So we moved over to one of the seminary dorms and are living in about one-third of the space we're used to. And we upgraded the students, giving them one of the guest dorms. So they had delightful air conditioning in the hot late summer and early fall. So we've been living in St. Joseph Hall in one of the dormitories there. And not a word of complaint, but we'll be ready to move into that new monastery when it's ready.
Well, and I know that you guys went through that huge renovation with regard to the basilica, and also up and coming plans. You're looking at the residence halls, student housing, but also endowments too. Yeah.
You know, in this day and age, it's very clear to us that we need to be able to build endowments for our seminary college, to be able to be stable and strong for the future. And so that's one of the things I have to turn my attention to in the coming months.
And we invite listeners, you want to learn more about the history, the present day, future plans, conceptionabbey.org is the website. Abbot Gregory, you have a Abbey Trails race coming up. It's yes. been taking place for quite some time. You've got the guest center and Mother's Day retreat and some hobby retreats and so many things going on. Explain for our listeners a few of the activities they might want to partake in here in the future.
Well, I think the whole idea behind Abbey Trails began about 20 years ago. And the idea was to try to encourage a spirit of wellness, not only among ourselves, but in the broader area of Northwest Missouri, and invited people who run and walk to come to the Abbey to taste a bit of our monastic culture and to partake in this event. We have a 5K run, a 2-mile walk, a health fair, and lots of door prizes. So there's something there for everyone. In our Abbey Center, we have a variety of different retreats which go on throughout the entire year. You know, upcoming now, we have a Mother's Day retreat for women. To come and spend a day, pray with us, and have some opportunity to listen to some ideas about motherhood and the beautiful gift that is to our world and our life. And then we also have retreats which encourage people's hobbies. One of our monks, who is the art director at the Printery House, Brother Michael, is a superb calligrapher. And he offers calligraphy retreats, and the numbers just keep growing each time we have it. One of our other monks, who has been away for the last 25 years as a bishop and archbishop, has retired from his episcopal appointment, and he and a couple of our other monks, Brother Placid, are offering a gardening retreat. Again, to try to give some kind of an inner spiritual meaning to things that we do every day and too often just take for granted the spiritual dimensions of what they're about.
Well, Abbot Gregory, that deliverance certainly is a big part of this week, the week that we're recording the program. But we have to say thank you just for everything that you do, the monks do, not just for our region and not just for the nation, but the world, because I know that you travel the nation and the world. And let me just kind of end on that note. What are you seeing out there beyond our region, in the nation, in the world, in terms of, you know, I think sometimes we have this picture of just utter chaos sometimes of what's going on. But as you travel around, what do you pick up throughout the nation and throughout the world?
Well, I see a lot of people looking for hope. One of the great blessings in my life is I teach in a program of our order, which brings together young men and young women who live under the rule of Saint Benedict, who are going to become formators and educators in their own community. I will be leaving on the 22nd of May to be teaching over in Italy. And every year that I teach in this program, I have representatives from every continent. And it's wonderful to see how they come together and are so very hopeful about what they can do to each in our own little portion of the world be ambassadors of peace, of goodness, of compassion, of understanding, of mercy, and of kindness to one another.
Well, that's so beautiful, and you're certainly an unbelievable ambassador, Abbot Gregory. Thank you for joining us on All Things Northwest.
Really, my blessing to be with you.
When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with our show's producer and Northwest Missouri State University student, Ben Nulli. We'll discuss his life, his perspective of being a student here at Northwest, his hobbies, and his plans for the future. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXEV KRNW.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from Atchison Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Atchison Holt Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the locations of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ahec.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center. Celebrating its 75th anniversary, CRHC has been providing health care in southwest Iowa and northwest Missouri since 1939. More at clarindahealth.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. United Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the location of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ueci.coop.
Welcome back to the April edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Northwest Missouri State University student Ben Nully. Ben is a triplet from Higginsville, Missouri. He is a multimedia journalism major and piano performance minor here at Northwest, and he's graduating in May. His brothers Alex and Chad work in the agriculture industry. The three boys were born just 2 days after Christmas, weighing just under 3 pounds. We'll visit with Ben about that. At age 7, Ben took on piano lessons and continues to play piano for Northwest's Fine and Performing Arts Department under a scholarship that he's earned all 5 years while he's been in school. He began playing for his church choir when he was in the sixth grade and then went on to play during high school. He completed his senior recital last month and is performing his recital at his hometown church. Ben has worked as an on-air announcer here at KXCV KRNW since his sophomore year. Listeners, you know him. He works as a local morning edition host and news anchor. Ben's radio pieces have been distributed by Harvest Public Radio and aired on KCUR-FM out of Kansas City, Radio America Network, syndicated out of Washington, D.C., KMA-FM out of Shenandoah, Iowa, and certainly right here on KXCV KRNW and the Bearcat Radio Network. Ben Nully, welcome to the interview side of All Things Northwest.
It's a little bit different being on this side of the table, or glass, if you would say.
Well, listeners, we have to say, devoted listeners, you've been with us for a year and a half. We started this show in late 2013. Ben Nully has produced this program from day one. So personally, I want to say thank you very much, Ben, for that. And you've been on the other side of the glass, so to speak, in terms of putting the recording together. But, you know, we thought it was important to talk about good things that Northwest Missouri State University students do. We talk about all the good play, the good work, the good collaboration around the region. We interview faculty and regional leaders, but we also want to highlight student leaders here from Northwest Missouri State University. Let's go back in time, Ben. First, talk about growing up as a triplet and how your early survival perhaps shaped your attitude, your drive, your passions.
Well, I was born 2 days after Christmas with two other brothers, as you mentioned earlier. I weighed around 2 pounds, 2 ounces, and could fit in the palm of my dad's hand. And my two brothers, I think one of them was 2.9 and 2.8. And they named us A, B, and C because they didn't know what they were going to name us yet. So later on, they figured out Alex, Ben, and Chad worked out just fine. But the unique thing about me is that I was so small that I had to stay in the hospital for several months after I was born. And they said the only thing that made me happy was music. And so I guess I would sit there and cry and want my mom or whatever. And so they're like, well, we got to figure out something to make this kid happy. And they found out that the music box that they had used helped kind of calm me down and keep me going and happy until I was able to go home a couple months later with my other brothers.
So the in vitro process takes place. You're born. Obviously, you have two brothers. The brothers, have you remained close over time?
One, as you said earlier, works in, he's actually a seed salesman here at my hometown in Higginsville. And the other brother works on the farm with my dad. And we've We've kind of remained close over the years, except we all went to different colleges. So my brother, Chad, went to K-State and now has graduated. And he graduated with a ag technology major, but is a seed salesman. And Alex went to community college and now works on the farm.
That's good. We're glad you can show them what Bearcats are all about.
Yeah.
As well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So music made you happy from an early age. When did you realize piano was something you wanted to pursue?
My mom said when I was about 2 years old, we had a piano in the house. And so she said I would just go there and kind of play on it a little bit. And my grandma was over one day and said, he's actually kind of playing a tune. And I didn't know what I was doing back then. And she's like, you need to get that kid to piano lessons. So by seven, I kind of got old enough to where I was able to take lessons. And from then on, took lessons all through high school and still here in college today. And then once I got to Northwest, I had taken piano lessons for a year, and then I decided I wanted to do organ. And because that was always something that I was like, oh, I want to try that and see what it's like. And ended up figuring out that piano and organ are a lot different. And so that when you're playing the piano, you're not having to hold down notes as you would like an organ, or if you let off the note, it's going to just die away. And so I've played piano all these years, and I get to the organ, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be just as easy as piano. And then I get there and start playing, and it's like, oh, this is a lot harder than I thought. So it was kind of funny and fun at the same time to learn that, okay, you're not going to learn all this stuff overnight. Because like now when I play piano, it's pretty easy to pick up a piece and just kind of sit down and play it. But organ still kind of takes me a little bit of time.
All of a sudden, you're starting to say, gosh, this broadcasting thing might work out too. What did you find out? Well, that might be an area of interest for me.
When I was a sophomore in high school, we had to write a paper, believe it or not, in math class about what we wanted to be when we were going to grow up, I guess. And I wanted to be a meteorologist at first. So, because I enjoy still to this day severe thunderstorms and stuff like that and tracking them and whatnot. And so the teacher said I needed to interview someone in that career field. So I was like, well, I'm just going to cast a net out and see if I can interview Brian Busby, the chief meteorologist at Channel 9 News. And I waited a couple weeks. I think it was about a week or two, a week and a half. And he got back and he said, hey, why don't you come up to the station and I'll show you around and we can talk and I'll tell you kind of about my job and everything like that. And my teacher was just blown out of the water by the person I got to interview, and same here. So he let me sit down and watch a broadcast, and I was like, oh, this is something I really want to do. Well, when I started going through high school, I was like, I don't know about this whole physics and all the math type courses you had to take. And so I was like, I don't think I want to go through all those grueling math classes, although Brian Busby said he did have a tutor help him, and he said, like, you know, it can be done. So I was just like, I don't think this is the right direction. So I was in high school, and I was like, well, I want to try the radio out. So, and I had talked to Brian Busby, and I'd talked to a couple other people that I met, like, through the TV and radio and stuff like that in Kansas City. And I just told this program director in Carrollton, said, hey, I'm really interested in broadcasting. You know, I'd really like to find out, you know, what you guys do. I was like, I don't have to be on the air, because I was like, I know I'm not going to get on the air or whatever if I say something. So then I basically kind of told him my experience with Brian Busby, and he's like, whoa, that's pretty awesome. So I was like, well, that's kind of cool. So ended up the program director got back with me and said, we're looking for a board operator, like on the weekends and evenings and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, board operator, I'm just going to be pressing buttons and stuff. I get there and they're like, no, you're going to be on the radio too.
You do announcing. Yes.
And so I was like, oh, okay. So that was a pretty interesting thing. For the first couple of times, I was trained by the midnight guy working midnight to six. And so a couple of times, I think it was like Mother's Day when I started training with this guy. And I'd get there and he'd tell me what was going on and stuff like that. And I was like, well, how am I going to stay awake from midnight to six? And so would drink a lot of Mountain Dew and then coffee. And then by the end of it, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I realized I don't even need that much caffeine to stay awake because I couldn't even go to sleep after I got home. But it was pretty awesome. KMZU in Carrollton. I don't know if you're familiar with that. They're a country station there. And I started there working evenings 7 to midnight. And then once I got older, working midnight to 6, because I was always kind of nervous being there by myself all night, being under 18 and stuff like that. And I was an hour away from home. And then I guess it got to the point where I think it was like 6 months to a year in. And he said, would you be willing to work an afternoon shift? And I was like, oh, yeah. And so I worked an afternoon shift. I think it was on my birthday. And I was like, well, you know, you can't pick and choose what day you work in radio and stuff. And so I did that. And then, of course, there was a program director change and stuff like that. And so it was kind of my time to move on to Northwest anyway. So I had gotten out of it because I wanted to start coming here to Northwest and was moving on to college.
Well, what's pretty unique is that, you're interacting with Brian Busby. Listeners, if you don't know Brian, he's at KMBC out of Kansas City. But you're interacting with Brian Busby. You'd already been performing nationally for the FFA. You're throwing, your math classes out. You're talking about meteorology. You're talking about playing piano. Now you're talking about broadcasting and that work ethic, midnight to 6, and then working on your birthday. And all these things set the stage for your talents as you come to Northwest Missouri State University. So you're at Northwest. Talk about your classroom experience, your out-of-classroom experiences here, because quite frankly, I think they exemplify what Northwest students do, but they're pretty prolific.
When I came to Northwest, I decided that I didn't want to go, because you can work at the radio station here when you start as a freshman. And I was so nervous about classes and everything that I was like, I'm just going to go through the first year and get the classes figured out and everything like that. And then we're going to go into the broadcasting, because after a year at Northwest, I did go back to KMZU between that. But in regards to the classes, I really enjoy the fact that in most of the classes here at Northwest, there's no more than about 30 students. Now, it does depend on what major you have. But the whole family-oriented feel that you guys give to all the students is probably one of the best things. And because I had got accepted to go to K-State, too. And I was like, it's a little far away. And so I was like, well, Northwest here, they got the radio thing. They have music. It's like, I need to just go there and try it out. And also, it was like you said, it was the first time I was away from my brothers and stuff. So it was like, I'm all by myself up here in rural Missouri. And so I come to Northwest, and I would take classes about 12 hours, typical when you're a freshman. And then sophomore year, increased those. And I'd started working at the radio station at KXCV my sophomore year. And you're going to classes. And I also forgot about the music thing, too. Yeah, performing.
I've got that in my notes here, yes.
Music. I was doing that as well. So I would go to class, and then I would maybe work KXCV for a couple hours and then play some music lessons in the afternoon and then maybe go back to KXCV. Now, that was kind of towards my later years here at Northwest. But the whole family atmosphere here is probably one of the best things, and I would encourage any student to explore Northwest as an option. And the thing is, too, with the whole aspect of providing students with those hands-on learning experiences, like working here at KXCV or being a student ambassador or other jobs on campus. I've talked to because I like to network with employers in the industry, in the radio industry and broadcasting industry. And they say the getting this on-air experience here at KXEV is better than taking a class until you're a junior or a senior, and you may have wrote a news story for a class, but that's not the same as actually sitting down and taking the time to learn how to write an actual news story.
All Things Northwest listeners, you're listening to this program here on KXVKR on W. I'm your host, John Jasinski, with our student, our student producer of this program, Ben Nelly. He's on the interview side today. And Ben, what you're talking about as being your experience at Northwest Missouri State is something that we're certainly fond of talking about. We're very, very proud, and that is profession-based, hands-on, real student learning. Talk about how all this then goes into some summer experiences. For example, you were in Washington, D.C. last summer. It was pretty profound, and then you went through some other, you were selected out of 300 students recently to attend a program to participate in a seminar. So talk about those outside experiences beyond Northwest.
I went to Washington, D.C. Last summer, and I attended the Institute on Political Journalism, and that's through the Fund for American Studies organization. And I was just walking through the hall one day, and Doug Sudoff comes along and says, hey, I have
faculty
this
member here.
Yeah, faculty member here at Northwest comes along and says, hey, I've got this internship. You should apply for it. It's in Washington, D.C. And I'm like, oh, I'm probably not going to get this. This is Washington, D.C. And so I just applied, and within, it was a week and a half again, like typical, I guess. And so they said, hey, we would like you to attend our program. And so I was like, well, this is pretty cool. So then I was talking with my parents, because you did have to pay for this program. And supply classes and stuff for you. And so I was kind of worried about, well, I don't know if I should do it with the money thing. And then I found out, well, they have scholarships. So I applied for scholarships for this program, and ended up taking out a small student loan, because they worked with Northwest to help get me out there. And it turned out to be one of the best things that has ever happened. And I cannot say, I can say that KXCV and the experience before that has helped build my resume and say, hey, look, this is stuff I've already done at school, and I know how to manage my time wisely and still complete classes, still show up to work on time, and use this experience and take that and go to this program in Washington, D.C.
And our listeners know, when we do our fund drives, we talk about the importance of students being on the air, of helping fund quality programming, but also helping us bring forth that learning environment. So Ben, you know, you're front and center to that. So as we think about listeners and understanding the importance of KXCB KRNW, how would you describe the importance of working here at the station?
It's given me a lot of opportunities, just like going to Washington, D.C., and it also just simply helps me become a better broadcaster, because I've listened to stuff. I've got recordings of when I first started here and now, and the tremendous difference is amazing. And it's not just me. All the students go through it. You start out, you're like, I don't really know what I'm doing here, so I'm just going to try reading this, and then before you know it, you can back announce or front announce or hit the right time at the right time. And it's just amazing the experience that you get as a student working at KXCB.
Listeners, we really do celebrate Ben's gifts and what he's brought to the station. So let's transition back, though, to your musical talents here at Northwest Missouri State. You recently completed your senior recital. And for our listeners, it might be good for our listeners to hear the requirements that go into that senior recital, and you know, your approach to it, your own assessment of your performance.
Well, as a minor, I do not think you're required by the university to actually perform a senior recital. I just wanted to.
Okay.
But I've talked to the other guy that I performed with, Robert Karstensen, and he said, you have to, as a major, you have to perform a senior recital, and you have to pass, and that if, or you have to get through this to pass. And so I was like, well, I still want to do one, even though in the beginning I decided, well, do I want to do broadcasting and music or both? Well, I figured out later I just wanted to do one or the other. And so I was like, well, I still want to do a senior recital, because my family wanted to see all of the stuff that I had done at Northwest. And So I was like, well, I still have to do one. And so about, this was a year ago, I was like, I want to do a senior recital. And so I was like starting to put together songs I was thinking of doing, and got with my professor, Dr. Anthony Olson, in the Fine and Performing Arts Department about, hey, what can I put together? Because I didn't want to do a whole bunch, but I wanted to do enough, you know, that it was enough to show off some of the qualities that I've done. And so I put together a playlist of about, a performance list, I guess, of four songs, two on piano and two on the organ. And a lot of practicing took place before that. And one of the songs I wanted to learn was a nocturne in E flat by Chopin. And I played this piece over the summer, and I was like, well, I just really love this piece. And actually found out about the piece because I was studying for a test. Because I was like, this is a really kind of soothing piece. And I was like, well, I want to learn this. And so I started memorizing the piece, started kind of relearning the piece this January. And within 2 weeks, he's like, well, you need to have it memorized. My teacher was like, well, you need to have it memorized. So the memorization that goes into it, it was only 3 pages, but still, it takes a lot to memorize those pieces. And then to go out there and actually have the confidence to play, like, am I going to mess up or whatever, you know? And a lot of practice goes into those things. And overall, I'm happy with the recital and the way it went.
Well, with that, if you don't mind, Ben, for our listeners, I thought it would be fitting if we played a little bit from your senior recital. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
are listening to public radio here on 90.5 KXCV Maryville and 88.9 KRNW Chillicothe. You just heard Ben Nelly. That was his senior recital. Chopin's, it's a
Nocturne in E-flat.
E-flat. And selected because you thought it was soothing. You were studying for an exam and you thought it was just an appropriate piece. Thank you so much for your commitment to Northwest Missouri State, to our radio listeners, KXV, KRNW. Ben, I say Northwest Missouri State University. What comes to your mind?
I would say family. You know, I never thought that I would be sitting across from you talking to you as a student. Never when I got here, you hear of the president of the university, but you're like, would you ever know him on a personal basis? Probably not. So I just think this is one of the most outstanding institutions in the state. And you guys do a really good job of making this a family-friendly atmosphere for students. And the thing is I want to say, don't be shy of anything, because I was a shy person, still am. And don't be afraid of any opportunity. And Northwest has given me many opportunities, and just with the music thing and working at KXCV and moving on to the next thing to Washington, D.C., Northwest has given me many opportunities that have helped me move on to, you know, who I am today.
Well, we appreciate that. We talk about Bearcats connecting. Bearcats do connect. Engagement being very important, and I think that's great advice, because whether or not you're an introvert, you're an extrovert, getting involved and really being part of that family atmosphere is so very important to student success. Commencement is right around the corner, Ben. I assume you're walking through commencement, and how are you feeling about that?
I think I'm okay, because this summer I'm going back to, I've got kind of a in-between time, I guess you would say. I'm going to be the program advisor for the Institute on Political Journalism this summer through the Fund for American Studies. And so I don't need to start looking for jobs quite yet, but I'm not in the same boat as some other students that are like, I've got to find something now or whatever. So I'm a little bit kind of not too worried, but still kind of like nervous as to what's going to happen in August.
And as you look out into the future, and you think about the horizon, what are your plans? What would you like to do?
My plans would be probably after graduation, or after, I guess, my summer in Washington, D.C., depending on how that kind of goes, I think I still want to come back to Kansas City to start out as a broadcaster, just because, you know, the Midwest is an awesome place, and I just feel like I'd like to come back and start out in Kansas City or at a station anywhere around in the area. But my ultimate goal is to work my way to the top and show that you don't have to go to a D1 university to work at a fancy radio station like 1010 Winds in New York or KFI in Los Angeles or something like that. And I want to prove to all those people that said, well, you need to go to Mizzou to get a broadcasting degree or whatever, and say, like, no, you can get the exact same experiences, if not better, at Northwest Missouri State.
Well, we believe that. We certainly love our colleagues and students at Mizzou and K-State and everywhere else, but we know that we offer something very special mm-hmm. here. And, by the way, we do have many, many examples of students doing such good work all around the nation and really beyond. Ben Nelly, though, thank you. I think I can thank, on behalf of listeners of KXCV KRNW, I think I can thank you for your service here to the radio station. But thanks for joining us here on All Things Northwest. You've been with this program since day one, and I personally am grateful for you, your passion, your penchant for excellence, your can-do attitude in representing Northwest Missouri State University so prolifically. I know that I'm thanking you on behalf of our listeners of this radio station who've been listening to Morning Edition, News Anchor, and even those Bearcat Sports Network programs that maybe have a little dead air for a few minutes. But thanks, Ben, for helping set the course of this program, All Things Northwest, and we wish you the very, very best.
Well, thank you.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Abbot Gregory Poland from Conception Abbey and Northwest Missouri State University alumnus-to-be, as well as producer of this program, Ben Nelly. Thanks, too, to B-Trav. He's the producer now of the program, Brandon Travis, and also to KXCV station manager Rodney Harris for his work in helping plan this program. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Jasinski, and thanks for your support of all things Northwest, Northwest Missouri State University, KXCV KRNW, and Public Radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Nottoway County Economic Development and Northwest Missouri Regional Council of Governments. More on Facebook at facebook.com/NWMORCOG. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. The program is written and produced by multimedia journalism major Ben Noley. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.